Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Play-by-play call of the day.
Next pitch, swung on, hit deep. Down the left field line towards the corner. This ball is gone. It clears and it's over. Sean Rodriguez with a bullet out to left, right down the line. It's his fourth career walk-off home run. Phillies win it in 11-6-5, the final.
I will see his dad tonight. As a matter of fact, Johnny Rodriguez, former State College Spikes manager, is Sean Rodriguez's father. He showed up this week. The Cardinals had sent him over as a roving instructor after managing at Springfield in AA this year. And Johnny showed up this week and had a warm talk. Told me how well Sean was doing because, of course, he had that car accident a couple of years ago. And we'll have something to talk about tonight. Johnny was born in Havana. I'm talking about somebody who really appreciates this country, Johnny Rodriguez does, Sean's dad. And it's been great. Now, the only part that has always bothered, you know, there's always only been one part that's really bothered Johnny about coming over here. And it's, well, you could probably guess. I mean, Sean, you can guess. I mean, it's only one part that's bothered him.
Leaving his parents behind in Cuba.
No.
Okay.
No. The restraining order on the suit. I mean, it's just, I mean, it's the same thing everywhere. And Kale Sanderson has a dozen of them, please.
But of all the people to hit that walk-off last night, we're just waiting for Rhys Hoskins to get out of this tremendous slump that he is in. He went 0 for 5 last night. He had a great opportunity to open up the floodgates last night and popped one up with the bases loaded.
But this is something about Sean Rodriguez. For whatever reason, this is not the guy that's going to go out and hit 300 for you. But as Scott said, that is his fourth career walk-off home run. Really? I mean, some people have none. He has four. There's something about him that, whatever it is in the big moment, he handles it easily.
And he mentioned that to Greg Murphy last night on the post game on NBC Sports Philadelphia. All I want is an opportunity. And when I have the opportunity, just got to take advantage of it and do what I can for the team.
Well, you know, but that's interesting. The opportunity part is critical. I was talking about this last night. And, you know, Andy Benes pitched in the majors. Oh, geez. Andy pitched at least a dozen years in the majors. Won a playoff game with the Cardinals. And his son Shane is here. And Andy's been here several times this summer. Andy Benes, great guy. Really like talking with Andy Benes. Well, his son Shane has been here this summer. They signed him as a free agent in June. And when he came to the plate last night, I said, here is the number one problem that Shane Benes has. It's opportunity. So I think you would see something out of him if he was out there being the guy that played 5 out of every 7 games, instead of being the guy that plays 2 to 3, like 2 games out of 7. Here's a guy playing 5 out of 7. You know, you'd get the opportunity to show that, hey, look, okay, I went 0-for-3 today, 0-for-3 tomorrow, but then I end up going 2-for-4, only because I'm into the rhythm of playing. And right after I said that, he doubled to the deepest part of the park. He also made the defensive play of the game last night, too. Opportunity means a lot. Look, some players are better than others. There's no getting around it. But opportunity opens the door to show what you really can do. And for Sean Rodriguez, he may not have had the everyday opportunity, but as he said, he's tried to take advantage of the opportunities that he has. Interesting. You know what the trend is today in baseball, pitching-wise? The trend is more and more you're seeing people pitch up. Now, why are they pitching up, Sean? You know, slider up, fastball up. Why are they pitching up? And the reason they're pitching up is this. If everybody is enamored with launch angle, which I understand because you're trying to beat the shifts, but if everybody's enamored with launch angle, what kind of launch angle can you have when the ball's up? Ron Guidry and Goose Gossage threw every bit as hard as today's pitchers. People throwing hard is nothing new in baseball. I know every time you turn around, you'll get stories about, oh, the new trend, the new thing. Look, there's not a lot of new trends in everything. I mean, some are recycled old trends. And Goose Gossage and Ron Guidry were two extremely hard throwers who threw the ball up. Two guys they could not defeat on a regular basis were George Brett and Carl Yastrzemski. Obviously, you're talking about two Hall of Famers. You're talking about two guys with 3,000 hits in their careers, respectively. But why is it that they bothered Guidry and Gossage more than anybody else? Because Yastrzemski and Brett had flat swings. They were not dramatic uppercuts. So suddenly you pitch up to them, they have a level swing, bang. Doesn't mean every once in a while you have a little uppercut to it. Yeah, you're going to go down and get a ball, you're going to have an uppercut. But up top, flat swing. Also, I think that yesterday, the hitters of yesterday prepare differently than today. Today, they're so enamored with the launch angle part, which, of course, usually means pulling it. I'll give you a Yastrzemski example. He would go out with one of the equipment guys on a particular night, and he'd say, okay, I need you to stand in left center, bang, 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 bang. Okay, I need you to stand in center field, bang, 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 bang. Well, what about right field? No, not tonight. He says, that's not how this guy pitches. I've got to be able to hit the ball to those spots against him. Oh. And there'd be some nights it'd be right center and right field. And there'd be some nights he'd have him go over and he'd stand left field, left center, use the wall, so forth. Because he would hit to where they pitched it. You can do that when you have a level swing. George Brett hit to where they pitched it. He had a level swing. It's all about film study for a lot of these guys, or just experience as to how it plays out. Same thing in football. I was talking to an NFL scout last week about John Reed. John Reed pours over tape exhaustively, including tape of his own receivers. You want to know why he pours over tape of his own receivers? Because he has to play them in practice. And this scout, and I'm not going to tell you the name of the team because that would be unfair. This scout says to me, he says, that is my kind of guy right there. He said, who plays the game the way he does, and you can tell the film study pays off for him all the time. There are some people that don't want to put in the extra stuff. And it shows. You saw the depth chart that was put out by Penn State. earlier today I was on another show, and they said, well, what do you think of the depth chart? And I said, I haven't seen the depth chart yet, so I don't know what's on it. I said, I just know what I've watched for 3 weeks. I said, so I already know in my mind what the depth chart is. This is why there's a point where I think a lot of people get what I'm saying, but there's also been a point where I think I've confused the audience a bit. And that's when I've talked about 44 or 55 players. Because obviously there are 22, 11 at a time out in the field. This is why I talk about 44 and really now 55 players, the top 55 guys. Because they all play now. James is a big believer, and justifiably so, in sports performance, in monitoring what makes players tick, what their physical exhaustion levels happen to be. Last year, David Hamilton, who has now, by the way, since moved on, David's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers now. David Hamilton sat next to Jack Ham on the plane. And before, you know, and I'd come over, and Jack and I would have long conversations with David about sports performance. Because there's so much that goes into this. I mean, obviously nutrition goes into it, strength and conditioning, speed training. But the sports performance part, he showed us graphs that when he started, let's just use 100 as a baseline. In August, the players are 100. They slip down a little bit to 95, 90. Then all of a sudden September comes, and now it's down to about 80, and all of a sudden you get to the end of October and 80 becomes 70, 65, 60 in November, whatever, and it just takes that deep dive. He then showed us sports performance levels now that they're practicing differently and how they are getting plays monitored differently now compared to years gone by. So you start at 100, and the graph goes down to 97, 95... 90, 85, 80. You know, in other words, it doesn't take that deep dive. It's a decline, because there's no doubt at the end of the season, everybody, there's two things I can tell you. Of the guys that are playing, two things are: they're tired and they're hurt. I didn't say injured, I said hurt. There's a difference. Every player is tired, every player is hurt. They're banged up in some way. This can't be helped when you're playing games at that kind of speed, that kind of level. Because of how they practice now, and also how many plays they play in a game, instead of that graph taking the deep dive that Dave showed us, it now takes that gradual decrease as the season goes. Jack and I, they really told Jack and me a lot about what all of this means, which now brings me back to the depth chart and the 55 guys. Yes, there are 11 starters on offense and 11 starters on defense. Okay. But do you really want your players now playing 80 plays in a game? Or would you like to see it where Hamler, Dotson, and Shorter are playing 45 plays. Jacena, George, Hippenhammer, they're playing 20 plays. Cam Sullivan, Brown, maybe Weston Carr playing 5 plays. Well, now I've just taken 70 plays and I've divvied it up among 8 guys, with obviously the starters being the ones getting the heaviest work. But you get to the fourth quarter now, and in that fourth quarter, you've got fresher players. In November, you've got fresher players. Same thing on defense. You've got Tariq Castro Fields, John Reed, you've got Trent Gordon, Keaton Ellis. You can rotate your four safeties, Lamont Wade, Jaquan Brisker, Jonathan Sutherland, Garrett Taylor. You can rotate your linebackers. Ellis Brooks playing for Jan Johnson, Jesse Luketa. Jesse's technically behind Micah, but they're going to both start this week. You know, Charlie Catcher, the five defensive ends we talked about, P.J. Mustipher at tackle, backing up Windsor and Shelton, and P.J.'s out there with Damian Barber and Judge Culpepper and Fran Hansard, and you're playing six guys there. This is where the difference comes into play when you have that kind of quality depth, where now you are looking at 55 guys, maybe even 60, that you want to play in a game. They're all going to play. It's not just your starter. Your starters are starters for a reason. They've earned it. They've been your better players at each one of those positions. But you're not going to win unless numbers 23 through 60 also perform well and there's not the drop-off. That's why I talk about 44, 55, 60 guys. Like, I've identified the top 55 guys in my mind, top 60 guys. I mean, what are you talking about? I've had people say to me, what are you talking about? We're not a 22-player team anymore. It's not the way it is. Sports performance has shown you have to be smart about reps in practice and smart about reps in games so that you're the fresher team in the fourth quarter, you're the fresher team in November. Okay, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Saturday night, Bucknell has won. Color analyst for the radio network quietly exit out of the side door. He goes to the local disco where he takes off the shades, takes the white jacket off, spins it around over his head, and tosses it into the crowd. Yes. Meanwhile, two guys are standing there, Sean Carey, Steve Jones, watching this spectacle. Screaming out, burn, baby, burn.
You crystallized my thoughts eloquently.
Yes, another tramp's hit immortalized. Wait, the only one.
Hey, at least it's got some staying power.
On this show.
Right. Well, that's made its way on an occasional Flashback Friday down the hall over on 94KX.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Of course sure. It has.
Yeah.
Oh, it's got some beat and rhythm to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's really, really good. But that was it. I hope they signed a contract where they got residuals. So the week one, I think there's only one game ranked on ranked, I think. Everything gets going, believe it or not, Thursday night. Thursday night. We're going to have a five-day college football fest starting Thursday.
Bring it. Oh, to bring the pick segment back on Friday. I have to line up some games for us.
Yeah, that should be easy.
Yeah.
Should be line up some games. It'll be good.
We'll find out for me if last year was a fluke or if it's the start of something great.
Oh, I think it's probably the start of something great. Let's see here.
Mix one of us.
Let's see. Florida A&M against Central Florida. Eh. Georgia Tech, Clemson. These are the Thursday games. Texas State against Texas A&M. Oh, boy, too bad we can't pick that one. Utah BYU on Thursday. Friday, you've got Michigan State Tulsa. South Florida against Wisconsin on Friday. Iowa State Northern Iowa. South Alabama at Nebraska on Saturday. Florida Atlantic, Ohio State. Eastern Michigan against Washington. Duke and Alabama. Northwestern Stanford. Now that might be a pretty good game. Syracuse gets Liberty. Oregon Auburn. That's the only ranked on ranked. Michigan against Middle Tennessee State. Imagine winning that game and being proclaimed a genius.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 at Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. We heard from James Franklin at his press conference earlier today. Well, you're going to have to drive into the game coming up on Saturday. And when you drive in, that also means you're going to have to park. Well, for some people, the drive-in has them a bit concerned with the new parking, the new zones that they've set up. East, west, north, south. Bill Morschbacher is going to join us now from Penn State Police Services. Bill, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show.
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Let's discuss the logic of the plan and how it's been put together and what's important that people should remember as they go through this.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that really looked at this, and for a period of time, many of us have realized we needed to make some adjustments to make the system a little bit smoother and a little bit safer. So a couple years ago, we engaged SP Plus, who's a national company that does parking and traffic, to do an evaluation, and they gave us a bunch of recommendations, most of which we implemented in this plan. So hopefully it'll be a little bit easier for everybody. It'll take some of the pressure away from, remember the yellow parking where there was kind of a rush to get to a lot.
Yes.
Now most permits are pre-sold, so hopefully everyone realizes that they have a spot and they can get there and they don't have to, engage in a, pre-planned, briefing to get everyone into their lot.
Yeah, because one of the issues along the way, and I don't have to tell you this, is that you're sitting there waiting to make a turn someplace and there's the lost person.
that
your auxiliary the police have to deal with and so forth. And that's always been one of the problems. Prepaid does help.
Yeah, it does. One of the things that this plan certainly allows is that when everyone gets a permit, on that permit is instructions and exactly where their lot is. We put a new sign package out. There's signage out a little further than it historically has been.
Yeah.
In addition to that, GoPSU Sports has information. And if you're a Waze user, all you have to do is put in your lot, and Waze will direct you the proper way to get to your lot.
And that's obviously really important. Now let's get to the one-way part of it. When do you want to start one-way for each kickoff and one-way out? After kickoff.
One way will start 4 hours before kickoff, with the exception of noon games, which will be 3.5 hours before kickoff. So before the one way goes into effect, you can travel as normal. There'll be no restrictions on the roadways. Then once we're in place, you'll have to take a look at your permit. If it says E, that means east, you come in from 99-322 bypass. If it says west, you come in from Atherton, and so on. And what happens is after the game, I keep an eye on what's going on. If it looks like a lot of people are starting to exit early, maybe the game's a blowout or something like that, we'll get traffic out a little earlier. But typically, we're prepared for the end of the game to have a one-way outbound pattern. And typically, that lasts somewhere between an hour and a half, 2 hours,
okay.
Typically.
Okay. You mentioned, though, noon, 3.5, which,
yeah.
Of course, that does mean the pit game. Which
yep.
That's going to be your challenge.
That will be, and that's a good thing. We have a couple games ahead of time to get everyone, get their feet wet and see that it's probably not that bad, and hopefully by pit we'll have this thing doing pretty good.
Right. What's the feedback that you have received? That certainly you're always taking into account.
Yeah, there's, I mean, a lot of different, I mean, a lot of it has just been questions. So I think all this outreach has been good in answering the questions. Certainly, you know, some people aren't embracing the change, but, you know, I certainly think, and a lot of people in athletics believe, or we would not have gone through all this effort to do this, that ultimately this will be a better setup for everybody. It'll be easier to navigate, particularly since we're getting a lot of new fans.
Right.
You know, they're coming to the games on a regular basis.
And, of course, this is all part of Run Your Route, hashtag Run Your Route. There's another part to it, too. What kind of training have now you given to those who will be out there directing, and what have you specifically told them about directing under this plan?
We have a detailed plan that everyone gets briefed on the morning of. There's a lot of people that already are certainly aware of it. And every morning we give, before we go out in traffic, we do a detailed brief for everyone who's going to be working in this position. So they will get a full and comprehensive briefing of it. And certainly we'll have a lot of other people to answer questions. So my suggestion is for patrons who think that there's a, you know, if they think there's a mistake or they're wondering why they're not moving, they can always call 1-800-NITTANY, and we can get the information and take a look at it right away.
Have you been able to, do you have the same amount of staffing that you've had before, or were you able to increase your staffing that's physically
We're pretty close. We're always attempting to increase, but, you know, trying to get part-time help sometimes is very difficult. But I think we'll be in good shape as far as that goes, and plus SP Plus is now going to be the company that actually helped us with this plan is going to be managing parking. So hopefully, you know, traffic is really all about parking, getting people to their destination. So hopefully we can, you know, be efficient in that too.
You're somebody that's obviously been so concerned with this, Bill. How many hours do you think you'd put in trying to think of every contingency, even though there's going to be some crazy thing that comes up?
Yeah, I can tell you that myself and the other people from athletics and from my staff that have done this, it has been days, probably weeks, that we have, you know, between doing evaluations, officially evaluating, discussing options. Oh, my God, it's a lot of time I'll never get back.
Yeah, no, exactly. But there's the part you can't control, though. This is the part you can't control and Penn State can't control, is the infrastructure part. You know, coming in, let's face it. Coming in from 99 on Park Avenue, I don't think that infrastructure can be any better. I think that's really good. But there are other parts where you're dealing with a lot of two-lane roads. How much patience is going to be needed because of that?
Well, there is going to be, you know, always for football traffic, and I think this is a good point that you bring up. This is a lot of cars and a lot of people we're bringing into a very small area, and they have to exit a very small area on those same roads. You know, one of the things we try to do is even up to, you know, put the capacity on the road that can handle it. So that is an excellent point. We're never going to improve, you know, how that goes. But I think with the communications and trying to tweak the way we're loading, there's some conflicts that we had before that I think we've mostly gotten rid of. So I think that'll really help.
It's hashtag Run Your Route, and you can also go to gopsusports.com to get more information about this. It's very important that the more information you have ahead of time, I think it's going to make your trip easier and also make Bill and his crew their job easier as well. I think that's the fair point.
Yeah, like I said, just really take a minute and look at your parking pass. Just make sure you know where you're going. Lots of sources to ask questions. We'll be glad to help, and hopefully it'll be a good day for everybody.
Hey, terrific. I think in the end it's going to work out really well. Thanks so much. I appreciate your time and also all the work and effort you put into this.
Thank you. I do appreciate you having me on, and I'll pass that on to everybody.
Bill Morschbacher joining us. Police services. And of course, I mentioned, you know, today on the conference call and the staff meeting that we're going to have him on. And of course, you know who wanted to know if it was possible to fix a ticket. All right, we'll come back. It's unbelievable. Do we, Sean, vet these people? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Interesting, Andrew Luck, we never really got a chance to talk about this, about retiring from the NFL. You know, it really reminds me a lot of John Urschel. Remember, John was finally in a spot where he's starting for the Baltimore Ravens, and he walked away. He's been doing a lot of work in MIT. He's been around here a lot. Of course, we just had John on the show, what, a month ago, right? And but there's also a fear. And you look at Andrew Luck. It's not as if this quarterback has not been hit, at times beaten up. And to see some Colts fans boo him when he left the field, wow. That was disgusting. He has to make up. Just like each one of us has to make up our mind as to what we think is the best path in our life. Each one of us has to make up our mind. What's the best path for us in life? For some people, the best path is, I want to have children. For some people, the best path is, I don't want to have any children. So for some people, the best path is to go into this profession. Then you find out maybe it's not right, so you get out of it. You change professions. I've always told my class, try to do something. This isn't always possible, but try to do something you enjoy. That way it doesn't feel like it's work every day. Like Sean doesn't feel like this is work every day. On the other hand, the staff meeting felt like work. A lot of work.
That part is true. Yeah, you'd think Saturday night, if that was a small number of Colts fans that were booing, we wouldn't have heard that on the TV, or we wouldn't have picked that up
right
off of NFL Network while that impromptu press conference was going on. And that was supposed to be on Sunday. Then the power of social media really, really showed on Saturday night. Just the word getting out on Twitter. The presser was supposed to be on Sunday, so they were scrambling, so Andrew decided to have that on Saturday night, and East Coast time, it was pushing 10:30 when he wrapped things up in the press conference room.
Yeah, but it's just
kind of sad. It really couldn't gone out his way, the way he wanted to, with a little more of a formal atmosphere the next day.
But you know what? We found out what the reality is. Reality is these people are mad at him. The reality is that people want refunds of their season tickets. The reality is these people felt like he strung them out. This was not a retirement in February. This was a retirement 2 weeks before the season begins.
Yeah, I can't think of
it. And it just was ugly the way it played out. I mean, a guy makes a personal decision because the passion is stripped out of him. He is physically spent. It's not just that the fact he's been hurt, it's all the rehab that you've got to put in to somehow get yourself going. And I know he's making tons of money. I got that. But at some point, he looked around and said, is this worth it anymore? He said no, and you're booed because he said no?
Yeah, injury, pain, rehab, injury, pain, rehab, you know, lather, rinse, repeat. I can't think of that high profile of a player in any type of professional sport that would retire this close to the beginning of a regular season. Not just football, but I can't think of any. I mean, we're hearing comparisons to Barry Sanders quitting at a young age, Michael Jordan when he retired in 93 the first time around. But this close to a start of a regular season.
It's what he felt he had to do. At some point, you have to make the best decision for you. This is not... Sports is not, I'll sacrifice myself at all costs for the paying public. At some point, you got to look around and say, I don't know if I can do this anymore. If he doesn't have the passion in him to play because of how this has played out, then I honestly don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. I think he had to make the best decision for Andrew Luck. He can't make the best decision for the guy in section 122, row 40, seat 8, who grew up in Ward 4. Oh, it's a different story.
Yeah. But I really thought I was getting swerved on Saturday night. When I saw that news come out, I said, no way. This isn't happening.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought right away, I looked at that, I said, yep. Was I surprised? Mildly, but then not completely. Because my thought was, this guy's been beaten up over time. And I don't blame him at all. But the fans that booed him, who the heck are you to boo him?
They should boo upper management, maybe a general manager or two back that put that offensive line together for Andrew Luck. Maybe he wouldn't have retired over the weekend.
I mean, obviously, the guy's a terrific quarterback. He can move. He's got a great arm. The whole deal. He's got 7 years. They made the playoffs 4 times. They got to the AFC Championship game once. Were beaten by a deflated football. Oh, wait, it's a different story. And the 3 seasons they didn't make it, I believe most of the time he was not healthy. I don't blame him at all. I don't blame him at all.
I mean, he's made his way onto some TV commercials. I mean, he may not have a portfolio as big as Peyton Manning's, let's say, but he's got a chance for something, lucrative in the next portion of his professional journey.
He does, but I'm just saying, I completely get where he's coming from. He knows, he's the only one that knows how he feels when he wakes up in the middle of the night and everything hurts. He's the only one that knows that when he wakes up in the morning and gets up and everything hurts.
And how about Gronk? I mean, Rob Gronkowski had a press conference this morning to promote some new product that he's getting involved with, and he was describing the pain that he felt after winning the Super Bowl. I mean, he would only be getting little blurps, little spurts of sleep, little naps here and there because he's just been dealing with so much pain and discomfort. And it's like, it's almost, he said the exact same thing, Andrew Luck said, it's just the joy is not there anymore when it comes to football.
Again, when you're playing professional football, it is a business. So that, you notice so many pro players come back to college campuses when they have bye weeks? Because to them, that's where the joy was. The joy was playing the game, big crowd, playing for the school, band, the whole, everything. When they get to the pros, they're on their own. There is not quite the camaraderie in the pros as there is in a college locker room.
In the pros, it's a dog-eat-dog world. You're trying to beat out somebody else to keep your job, win a job, whatever it may be. When it's over with, you are not eating training table together, you know, during the regular season. You are going home and you are getting your own meal. So there's not the quite hangout time. It's a business. Well, when you combine that business with getting beaten up the way so many of these guys do, and they do get beaten up. As I mentioned, at the end, remember I was talking about sports performance earlier? At the end of the season, everybody is two things. They're tired and they're hurt. And there's a big difference between being hurt and being injured. Remember, there's a difference between being hurt and being injured. At the end of the season, every player is tired and hurt. It's just the nature of how physical the game is. And Lux had to battle through a bunch of injuries. Gronk had to battle through a bunch of injuries. And after a while, at 2 a.m., you're sick of getting up and having every part of your body hurt. And at 7 a.m., you wake up, you're like, oh, everything hurts. Like, that's the way you, I mean, I know you're getting tons of money. Lots and lots of money. So you're well compensated. But that doesn't mean you have to stay either. You can walk away from money. And then you got people in Indianapolis booing him. Like, really?
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.